We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. This is a rather late edition of the Presser Refresher Show. I think we have a couple of these. I'll come up with more creative names next year. But we are kicking off here Monday by recapping all of the post-game press conferences from the biggest comeback win in the history of Oklahoma Sooner football after the Sooners somehow, some way rallied to beat Baylor on Saturday night in Waco. It's still one of those games that, in all honesty, you kind of every so often stop and say, wow, based on where we were at halftime, they came back and won that game. So the biggest comeback, they're down 28-3 at one point. Sooners win it 34-31. Lincoln Riley, Jalen Hurts, Alex Grinch coming up here in just a bit. But the stats are numerous and they're endless, and we'll get to them coming up here in mere moments. But as always, the Sooner Sports Podcast is brought to you in part by Allstate and by Riverwind. We also want to remind you that this is a huge time and a huge push for the Sooner Club, and it's time to commit for 2020 to the Sooner Club. Sooner Club donations directly impact the lives of every single student athlete in Crimson and Cream, and there's never been a better time to invest in the future of Sooner Athletics than now. New in 2020 is a 5-month payment plan that's available for members to spread payments leading up to the March 31st deadline. So you can spread them out so it's not all hitting you at once. Members who opt into the payment plan before the end of November will also receive up to 150 bonus points for the upcoming year. I mean, listen, I can't tell you enough about how important the Sooner Club is. It impacts not only the student athletes from the facilities projects that are currently in the fundraising process, but also resources like nutrition, academic support, travel, professional development, and of course, the psychological resources. For more information, call 405-325-8000 or log on to thesoonerclub.com. The Sooners had 41 minutes and 11 seconds in time of possession. That's their most in the last 19 seasons. They had four 10 or more play scoring drives for just the second time since 2016. Zero rushing touchdowns allowed for just the fifth time since 2015. They're 4-1 in that game. Sooners fumbled the ball 5 times, which is the most under Lincoln Riley. But with all kudos to the crew over at Sooner Stats on Twitter, this is the 7th time since 2002 where the Sooners had 12 or more third down conversions, and their first since 2016 when they beat Baylor 45-24. The most in that period was 16 against Oklahoma State. They were 16 of 27 in 2010. That was really one of the stories of the night. The Sooners won this game on Saturday night. Mostly because of their gut and their determination and their heart and just this incredible resiliency that this team had. But from a statistical perspective. You go 12 of 18 on third down, you sustain drives, you're going to win a lot of games. So final score, Sooners win it 34-31. Let's hit up the locker room, starting with Sooner head coach Lincoln Riley. So here's the interesting thing in all of these interviews. For some reason, the microphone barely caught the question. So you kind of almost hear like a nonstop, constant conversation about what happened and how the game went down. So I apologize, but it's the best we could do in wanting to make sure we brought you this podcast. So again, here's Lincoln Riley to kick things off.
Well, that was fun. Now, where do you start? I just told the radio guys, we had probably, in my opinion, probably the best, most spirited set of practices we've had all year coming into this one. And I felt really good about how we would play tonight. And then, you know, obviously the first half didn't go anywhere like you dream. And you know, we made a lot of mistakes. I give Baylor credit. They're, you know, as good as we thought they were coming in. And, you know, we brought the team up right there. I think after it went maybe 28-3, brought the team up and told them, hey, let's try to close the gap a little bit here. You know, we were playing really hard at the beginning. Didn't do our job great. I thought guys trying to make a little too much happen. It was, like I said, so good, and they were so amped to play this game. It was maybe a little bit too much, honestly, in the beginning. But they settled in, man. They did. They settled in and fought. And the locker room at halftime was probably not what you imagine it would be like in the movies when something like this happens. It was – didn't have to say a whole lot to our guys. They knew what they had to do, and they – you never know 100% that you're going to be able to come back from something like that. But I think they all felt like we had a chance, you know. And I got to be honest, even at K-State, when we got down that third quarter, I think maybe about half of us really believed that we had a chance to come back and win that thing. And in this one, there was not one person on that sideline that didn't believe it. And now you still got to go make it happen. But the belief is for a comeback like that is where it starts. And team ball – I mean, you can't say enough about how well we played. I mean, other than fumbling the ball in the goal line, we played a really, really good half a ball, and we're completely dominant there. So, I mean, I'm, you know, as a coach, there's a lot of great wins, and, you know, we've been lucky to have a ton of them here. But coming back like we did, and it's kind of how it all played out, this one is up there for sure. So I'm beyond proud, and then also beyond excited about us continuing to grow. You know, I think people still see we got a lot of things to continue to grow on and get better, but I think this can be a catalyst for that. I think it will be. And our best ball is coming soon. That was big. We talked about it coming out. We also felt like we had some momentum there at the end of half. As crazy as that may sound, we score. They had a couple big plays, but then we hold them out, make them kick a field goal. And we felt like we had momentum coming in. Like, the guys were awesome at half. And I didn't have to say a whole lot to them. Just, you know, we talked about kind of energy and the passion and the supporting of each other and all that the whole week, and they were awesome on that all night. But we were finally kind of settled in there a little bit within the game, and we were able to balance that by doing our job and doing it at a high level. And I mean, I just give our kids credit, man. They made some, I mean, just so many phenomenal plays, and it'd have been easy to pack up the tent tonight. We didn't do it. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, getting that turnover, yeah, I mean, it just, we stripped that ball, get it back, and then it was just kind of on from there. I mean, it just, yeah, it was almost kind of like the monkey off your back a little bit. And we got that turnover, and, you know, and then obviously, you know, Benito gets a huge one there at the end to seal it. And, yeah, I mean, I think getting the turnover and then just settling in and doing our job better than we did in the first half, they understood we had to play with the same amount of energy and effort, but we had to do our job better, and we did. CD was a medical decision. Did it impact us in the first half? Hard to say. I mean, you got a guy that's probably the best receiver in America. It's hard to say that it doesn't. But, I mean, our guys, as you saw, were more than capable of playing and playing well. So maybe a little. I don't know how to measure it, you know. He's a tremendous player. But, man, we had some young guys really step up and make some big, big-time plays tonight that CD made when he was a young guy, you know, and that helped spur him on to a tremendous career. And I think tonight will be a big night for a lot of those young guys on both sides of the ball that made a lot of plays. No, it does. He had to trust those other guys, certainly. And I think I'll be interested to go back and watch the film, but it'll be interesting if he did as much early as he did at the end. You know, playing with a guy that's such a difference maker like CD can it gets your attention as a quarterback, and it should. I mean, but sometimes playing without him can almost make you see the whole thing a little bit better. And he did. He hung in there. He had one bad decision in the throw game, and then obviously the two fumbles. You know, and other than that, the guy played pretty clean ball. I mean, he did. He settled in. I thought he handled some of our adjustments. We had to make a lot of adjustments in this game, and I thought he handled those in game as good as he has all year. And yeah, I mean, it's just pretty awesome to see a kid that wants to win so bad and then has those turnovers. You know, and is a part of the reason that we're in the hole. And then to come back and play like he did at the end of the half and then the second half, I mean, what more can you say? Yep. Yeah, we thought there was a couple of opportunities in the last game to stay in a little bit more and continuing to trust our linemen and our receivers to be where they are. And it's a fine line with a guy like that because he's such a dynamic athlete that you don't want to – you don't want to slow him down either because, hell, you know, 75% of the time he takes off, it's pretty good, you know. And so, yeah, he's worked on it, and I thought he really trusted it and made some big, big throws from the pocket. No, it did. We really didn't. We had to make some adjustments within plays, but I don't know we went and called a bunch of things that we weren't in the beginning. We made a few adjustments. They did a few new things like you do, and we had to adjust to it, and we did. And, I mean, the biggest difference was, I mean, we held on to the ball. I mean, that's, you know, we had a couple opportunities there that in the first half, certainly to get things moving, but, yeah, no, there wasn't – that's the one thing we said even when we got down, you know, big early was we got to stick to what we have. We know there's times where you're playing, you're like, man, the plan stinks and we need to make some adjustments. And there's times like, no, our plan's pretty good. Like we got to hang in there, maybe a tweak here and there and keep firing it at them. And that's where we landed tonight. I don't get too, you know, emotionally caught up in it. I can't. I mean, it's, you know, it's we got two timeouts left, and how do we want to use those? And communicating with our defensive staff, and then watching our kids make plays. I mean, that's so. I mean, I'm thinking, what do we got to do to get a stop? And we did. Yeah. Nice. I told you guys before, you know, he's even when a young guy, when he came in and, you know, Austin was clearly the starter, we would put him in some pressure kick situations and he seemed to always make those. And so he went out there. You may not believe me, but I really was not that worried about it. I mean, I was like, he's probably going to make it like all the other ones he does, you know. So big time kick. And again, the confidence he has in Connor and Casey is a big part of that, especially for a young kicker. Yeah. Yep. Makes an excellent. And yeah, and the one he caught was a much harder play. I mean, what was a much harder play? It was a great call by Coach Grinch, and awesome play by Nick. Yeah, it was awesome. He stayed a lot like the Texas game, you know. He kind of stayed calm as he made some mistakes early. He was particularly disappointed about the one there because we had all the momentum in the world. And I think that was right after we had recovered the fumble, if I remember right. And so, yeah, he was disappointed, but then he was over it, like, quickly. And that's one thing I know about him. I don't have to go do a Dr. Phil session on the side with him. I mean, he there's adjustments we got to talk about and – you know, things he's doing, things we're seeing, all that. But, you know, that cat's ready to play. Yeah, I said. Well, I told him I think we're moving it well at this point. Hold on the damn ball, and then we'll score every drive. Yep. Yeah. No, it did. It did. I think our team has clearly grown from it. I would say a combination of some of the – I think we're getting a little tougher as a team. And then just, again, the preparation. You know, everybody always thinks the preparation is, you know, schematically something you're doing or a technique or a fundamental or what you think you're going to see from another team. And it is part of that, but it's also mentally – each individual getting themselves to a place where they're ready to compete at the highest level and ready to do it for their teammates. And that's – you cannot – I don't care who you are, you cannot just flip that on game days. It just – this team was so invested through the week that, I just kind of knew, even if we didn't play well in a period here or there, I knew we were going to just fight our tails off. And you just knew that. And our team knew that, and they felt that. Which time? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he smiles a lot more than you guys see. Yeah. Yeah, no, we knew play. The decision to warm ups was kind of twofold. He wanted to be out there with his teammates and participate, and then I thought strategically for us sense too. Yeah, a little bit. There's a couple things here and there, but it wasn't. There were some very, very small adjustments, but I think it was just more of us recognizing how they were attacking us, and once we did, our kids settled in with it. We knew early in the week there was a chance, and it kind of clarified as it went on. Sir, you have to win, you know. And I let all the people on TV talk about style points and how much you win by or how much you lose by, or you know, I think it's you have to find a way to win. That's all I know, and. I know that's been a decent formula for us the last few years, and you got to win these tough ones like this. So we got a good football team. We do, I don't care who all watched it on the outside. I just think we saw in that second half of what we can be, and we're excited to go fight to be able to do that here for the entire rest of the season. Yeah. No, I learned a lot about our team this week. I probably learned more this week about our team than maybe tonight. When we got down again, I really believed we had the comeback in us. Now, it's still hard to do. I mean, there's no doubt about that, especially against a good team. It's hard to do. But I really felt like we had it in us. Just the way our guys were this week, the way they responded, we kind of found ourselves a little bit. That's the best way I can describe it. Yeah, honestly, I didn't get to see him yet, and it was kind of a mob scene in our locker room. So, but no, it's, I mean, it's exciting for him. I mean, we're just getting started defensively, you know, with what we're going to be here, and he's done a great job with our guys. You know, a game like this, a second half like this, you have to have, you know. First year, I know when I came in as offensive coordinator, you're going to get into some of those moments where if you can make it happen, those moments, their belief goes through the roof. And we had, you know, we were fortunate enough that first year, not all of them, but we were able to have some of those moments offensively, kind of in year one, where you could feel the belief go through the roof. And you know, I think tonight can be that for us defensively. He and our staff have done a great job, and our kids. You know, buy-in, again, this week, even after all the stuff out there, all the noise out there, this week was as good as it's been, and the result was there. So I'm proud of, you know, what he's doing and what our staff's doing, and can't wait to see how much better we get. He did three. Yeah, he was awesome. He was one of the guys we really challenged that said, you know what, you came here to be a primetime player. You know, we got to have it from you. And he responded in a big way. Yeah. Stogner. Yep. Well, no doubt. That's why you work so hard at it. You know, you work so hard to bring in the right guys, and you in recruiting, you talk to them about getting a chance to play in games like this and a chance to make those big winning plays. And it's tonight was exciting, certainly for this team first and foremost, but certainly exciting for the future with so many young guys making plays. We'll have to see. I don't know. Yep, I don't know. Maybe I'd do it a little sooner. Is that what you're going to say? I think it's... it's different. I mean, it's just what you think the team needs in that moment, you know, and this team's at a different place than that one was. And I think a chance just to kind of refocus a little bit, because sometimes, especially on the road or in an atmosphere like that, it can get away from you quick, and your mistakes start getting compounded. And I felt like that's what was happening for us. We would have one or two mistakes and it turned into three, four, or five, and we had to stop that. And then I wanted to make sure that they knew that what we did all week really did happen, and we really are good enough to come back and do this. And but if I told them, if we don't believe, we got no shot. And but they did; they believed. And that's those speeches aren't magical. It's with what the players do with it, and then our players did it. Yeah, I think some mentality, and then also, you know, getting to the heart of whatever the problem is, and addressing it head on, and knowing that we have an answer for it. And sometimes just getting everybody in there together has just a little bit different feel to it.
Gonna finish up, Barry.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like, you know, I mean, I get CD's a great player. I didn't feel like that we wouldn't hit home runs. I mean, we've got a lot of other good players too. But, yeah, I think it goes back to the other question of, you know, did we have confidence in the plan that we had? And we did, and we had confidence in our ability to execute it. And the one thing we said was we can't just scrap everything and just go rogue just because we're down a few points. There's a lot of time. I mean, I think when I pulled them up, even down 28-3, I think one of the things I said to him, I think at that time we had like 41 minutes still left in the game. I mean, there was still forever left. And so, you know, I didn't want us to panic. I just wanted us to, you know, do better. And yeah, I mean, our coaches did a good job of sticking to the plans on both sides.
It wasn't a good start for Jalen Hurts, but the Sooner quarterback bounced back in a big way in helping to lead Oklahoma to the comeback win.
I just want to say this.
I made this clear to my brothers, everybody in that locker room. You know, I'm virtually the new guy around here. I'm one of the newest members to the OU family, Boomer Sooner and all that. And I mean, these are the same guys that accepted me the way that they did, voted me as captain, basically said, we're going to follow Jalen. That means more than you know, and that shows the amount of respect they have for me and the love they have for me. And tonight, we're out there battling, and, you know, their leader made some mistakes, and we all found ways to overcome it together. Shows the character we have. It shows the perseverance we have. You know, talk about, I think I've said this before, you talk about me being a new guy, me being placed on a whole different team, a team that I prepared for last year in a bowl game. Talk about not knowing the identity of what we are. And I think we're a football team that when we have the right focus, the right energy and enthusiasm, all throughout the organization, I think pretty good. So that's a testament to the hard work, the belief we had in each other, and the will of not being denied. And Baylor played their tails off. A great football team, very physical team. But this was a game where we had to lay it all on the line, and Boo Boo, I guess, as the situations I put the team in, we found ways to overcome it, and we're 1-0 this week. I mean, it's a moment where you gotta embrace it, and enjoy it. Coach Riley, man, coming in here, I always say it's a challenge. Challenge coming to play here. A challenge coming in and having to put your full and complete trust in a whole entire new group. Something you're not used to. But, man, when we have that trust, when we have that belief in one another, we're going out there and executing without any doubt. Pretty good. Well, I was trying to score. I was trying to get in the end zone. And, yeah, my ball security, it sucks. So I'll fix it. Oh, no, there's always an opportunity. There's always a way. And I think we truly believe that. I know y'all didn't think we were going to come back and win. There's always a way. Always a way.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Look, I hold myself to a standard in terms of playing to my best ability, trying to put the team in best situations. Talk about last week, and I talk about these learning experiences we have. Play against Iowa State, and we put them in a critical situation in the game, and we overcame it. Today, turned the ball over, I think, 3 times. I mean, that's unacceptable for me. But we found a way to overcome it. And it's this team thing that means so much to football, to any team sport. It's about the group. It's about everybody. It's not about one individual or one mistake. It's about how do you respond to it as a team. I think we were the hammer and not the nail.
What was your
The togetherness. We had each other's back. They played their tails off. They came out and believed. I tell you this. As I'm walking out of halftime, y'all tell me what the score was at halftime. Yeah. So coming back, we're down that many points, and I'm walking by Coach Grinch, and I tell him. Well, he tells me out loud. Well, he says it out loud. He says it's gonna be one hell of a story one day. We tell our kids out of halftime. And I kind of told him, I said, yeah, just add another one to the list. One of many. Well, I give my glory to Jesus Christ. I'm a firm believer. And I think he put this team in a situation, put us in this situation for a reason. And I think we found out a lot about ourselves and what we are capable of doing when we bow up and play to our standard and focus. Well, you talk about that. I guess I don't want to make this about me. You know, I have my experiences as a player going back, you know, my collegiate career this far, but we talk about these new experiences I have with this team right here, Oklahoma, with my new brothers. I mean, we're building something really special. And I think we just got to keep the main thing, and keep moving forward. And we're going to enjoy this one. I mean, but we know we got bigger fish to fry. We still have great opportunities ahead of us, so we're going to try and be 1-0 every week. Yeah, I think you win games on third down and in the red zone. Look at the games that we've struggled or maybe have had more field goals or whatever. Those are games that we failed to score in the red zone. Look at the fumbles, put the ball on the ground in the red zone, third downs. Look at the games that we've had trouble in or failed to extend drives. That's because of lack of ability to convert third down. So I think everybody did a good job of focusing in and getting it, converting them. Yeah, there are big time players, and I'm glad everyone got to experience a game like this. Kind of jot it to your resume, and it shows that you've been battle tested. Like I said, a lot of respect for Baylor and how they came out and played. I think we had a lot of young guys, a lot of inexperienced guys that kind of grew up today. Right. Yeah, man. It hurt me to hear it. A great friend of mine's, and I wish him nothing but the best. I hate to hear it. I pray for him and his family. I hope everything works out for the best for him. And every time you got an opportunity to feel, you got an opportunity to be special. Hyping, you're working over.
Headlines are.
Man, just talk about the perseverance of this team. I can't say it enough. About how we responded to adversity. We had a great week of prep. We came in here with the right intent, and things did not go as planned, did not go our way at all times, but we found ways to respond and overcome. And this is something that we have to build on. Like I said, we're going to enjoy it for 24 hours. We're going to get ready for TCU.
And finally, Alex Grinch, the Sooner defensive coordinator. In fact, he probably, outside of Lincoln Riley, spent the most time with the media. And when they finally got that turnover, I don't know how you guys felt, but when the Sooners got the fumble, even though at that point it was, 31-17, when the Sooners got the turnover off the fumble, I kind of thought, oh my gosh, here we go. And I know it didn't lead to points, but it was a moment that seemed to ratchet things up to another level for the Oklahoma defense. And Alex Grinch afterwards with the media.
Well, the players did. I mean, that's the short answer. But just the resiliency. I mean, you if you get caught up in the scoreboard, you start making judgments, you start making assessments about how things are going. Things aren't going well, but things aren't going well when you don't. You know, make plays. You know, things don't have a tendency to not go well when you don't have 11 guys, executing at an elite level. And so, the hole you dig is the one that you got the shovel in hand. And we did our part in digging it. Obviously, give them credit. In an atmosphere like that versus a very good football team, you know, you got to weather the storm early, and certainly you couldn't make the claim that we did that. And so we got to do a better job as coaches to make sure that we're prepared for those moments. Still some head scratchers early that we got to get past. The boarding a coverage to go hit the quarterback. Calling the pressure and the man that's blitzing doesn't blitz and overrunning a pulling guard when you could be an unblocked guy. Just all those things that make it very, very difficult to play good, sound defense. And so we got to continue to analyze that. Really add some stress to this football program, in the early parts of these games to play that way. And so we got to be better. Sure, I thought and it doesn't feel that way because the scoreboard's such, but kind of towards the middle of the second quarter, maybe just from an execution standpoint, that doesn't mean everything's going to go roses. I mean, they have the ability to out execute you on given downs, but just a little bit more of a feet underneath us type of look about what we're doing. I thought just going into halftime, I did not think. Confidence was low in a lot of ways, what you try so hard to do is kind of preload these guys for situations that you might expect. I mean, obviously that's the extreme of the extreme. You've got situations where you're not getting your job done defensively. It's coupled by having to take the field after sudden change opportunities, some of which are in short yardage, areas. Some of that stuff you prepare for, other stuff you just got to react to in the moment. And so, by and large, early on, we did not do that. But that was your question. I thought, kind of towards the tail end of that second quarter. And I just thought there was a group at halftime willing to say that if we go out there and execute, we'll give ourselves a shot. We'll give ourselves a shot. And what's it going to take? And our mantra this week, the entire time, was three and out takeaway, regardless of what the scoreboard is. And that never goes away. And maybe it's a simplistic message, and maybe a message that we should have delivered earlier on as we've gone through this thing. And not that messages are everything, but we do believe in it. Regardless of what the scoreboard is, the defense has to get off the field. I mean, it doesn't matter. A week ago, we're in a situation where, we're up with a significant lead. And regardless of what that situation is, 35-14, we have to get off the field. We can't have a slow second half. It's a requirement in this sport for the defense to do just that. And there's only two ways to do it, you know. And at some point when we talk about three and outs, you know, our thing was anytime there's a first down, it's not just at the beginning of a possession. And so, you know, that was you know, something that I heard a lot on the sideline. I think guys bought into that, and there's a reality to that. And you know, you never know if you're going to get the results, but very pleased with what we did in the second half. I think in a lot, I mean, you know, you'd have to pull every player, but I'll speak for them and say it absolutely was. It was a big relief for me. You know, you know, we say takeaways again because you're not hoping the ball just bounces your way. I mean, hope isn't a strategy, and we're not going to – we'll take those too, believe me. But, no, I thought, you know, just from a – because what takeaways are, as much as anything, obviously they create possessions, and we got a pretty good offense here. And so if we can get one more possession, two more possessions, imagine if we got three more possessions to that offense every week. You know, what we could be as a football program. And the other thing, too, is it puts a massive amount of stress on you as a defense. If you're not getting takeaways, that means every single drive is completed in some way, shape, or form that includes either a third down or a score for the offense. A third down stop or a score. I mean, to do that over the course of an entire football game and never have an opportunity, I shouldn't say opportunity, you have the opportunities on every single down, but to not find a way to get off the field, you know, it's extremely hard to play good defense and not get takeaways. In any way, shape, or form. And then the final thing I would tell you on that is a long answer, but it's a big deal now, is the momentum. You if you want to curb the momentum of an opponent, there's only certain ways you can get that thing done. Obviously, score on offense, and defensively, obviously, get off the field. But, man, from a momentum standpoint, if you're not creating takeaways, and you know, I believe it was four straight weeks, and I tried to stop counting, but you have no momentum plays, literally no momentum plays, to stop your opponent and put yourself in a situation that you can you know, help your offense out. And so that's something that we know has to change. You know, hopefully tonight is part of that change. But in any event, no, I could talk about takeaways for the rest of the night. You know, the thing I saw, I mean, you know, Ronnie Perkins in particular in our front, just a relentless effort really changed, in my opinion. I highlight our front across the board, but I think that as much as anything kind of changed the feel of things in the backfield for an offense, whether it's in the run game or at the end there in the pass game. You know, making a throw under duress. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, not having the get-out-of-jail-free card in terms of the ability to scramble. If you constantly have that get-out-of-jail-free card, it can be a comfortable pocket for a quarterback. And so eliminating those things, I think that was probably the biggest thing that we saw, you know, attack the boundary there at the tail end of things. And obviously Nick Benito came up with a good, you know, obviously a big play. But, no, I mentioned the front was probably the biggest thing at that point. I challenged all the guys, but not specific to Ron. Well, and he did, and I think there was a couple more you know, he you know, had a major impact on the play that didn't, you know, come in a sack, and it got to that point, I you know, where you're just sitting there saying, okay, Seven's going to make a play. He just felt it, you know, and might highlight him, you know, a week ago in a very, you know, obviously a poor finish on our part, you know, kind of till the end in a football game where we had a chance to play some good defense and we did not get that done. But I highlight him last week. You saw that guy and you saw him again tonight. And so, very pleased with him. Yeah. How? Right. And you know, I think sometimes too, like when you know, obviously you want everything to be real easy, and you want every message that you deliver to be landed and done so without the adversity on Saturdays. And unfortunately, by and large, that's not the case. And you know, for this to be our group, to be our defense as a coaching staff, you know, sometimes you got to go in it. I mean, you got to be in it together. And some of those messages don't seem so real when. You know, in games that are decided maybe earlier, as opposed to, you know, let's talk about takeaways equal victory, and you know, they shake their head at you. Got you, coach. We won a lot of football games around here, you know. But then all of a sudden you see the impact. You know, a few weeks ago where they got takeaways, we didn't, and we lost a football game. And all of a sudden the antennas go up a little bit, and then you know, finish the game last week with a takeaway in the goal line area. On a 2-point play, yeah, guys, it does. You know, takeaways equal victory, and then again, so you know, some of that stuff. And again, I'd give anything to you know, get the you know, high end results that are expected at Oklahoma, you know, right away. But this is part of our story, and we told them at halftime, you know, that it'll be a hell of a story. We come back, win this football game, and so this is part of it. We'll use it to our advantage. You know, we got four starters out with ACL injuries. You know, and they may not be household names, and so it's you know, whether it's reported on or not, I don't know. But in any event, that's a credit to some of these guys stepping up, and so we're constantly working through, you know, from a you know, depth standpoint, and constantly getting these guys to. So we got a lot of work, obviously, to do, but we got a group of guys that you know, show some battle tonight, and that gives you a shot. You know, I really did give him a lot of credit, because you're absolutely right. You know, it's maybe a little bit different for a wide receiver to be in that situation, but for a rush linebacker that, you know, in that particular instance, you know, we're dropping in coverage. You know, they don't have timeout, so they're going to work boundaries, and so you're kind of trying to mix, you know, some of the looks there into the boundary. That one on second down put him in a position kind of as a hash dropper for us, and. You know, maybe caught the quarterback a little bit by surprise to see him back there and put him in a situation to make the play. And you got to expect it. But then to come back the next play and he's dropping out to the flat and to make it, I give him a lot of credit. And obviously, he made a big play last week that Piemont came up with in the at the tail end of the game. And he's another young player for us as a redshirt freshman that, you know, when John Michael went out, you know, his role changed. And so, you know, this, you know, making a couple plays the last couple weeks got to be a springboard for him. Well, it does. I mean, complimentary football, that's not unique to Oklahoma, our defense, this program, anything else. I mean, complimentary football certainly helps everybody. I think when we're getting three and outs, it helps the offense. I think when they're, you know, marching down the field, it certainly helps the defense. But, you know, but I certainly wouldn't complain. You know, when the drives end with seven on our offense, especially in a game that like tonight, I mean, I think that's the number one priority for those guys that get you excited on the defensive side of the ball. But no, believe me, we'll take every opportunity to go on the field only a certain amount of times. But you still, once again, to my previous point, you got to find a way to get three and out. You got to find a way to get a takeaway. You got to find a way to get off the field. It looks a whole lot different if they march down the field and then the opposing team marches down the field. So you still got to find a way to get stops. No, I think you know, obviously it's always a combination of things. You're making sure that, you know, it's tough when a quarterback is you know, finding escape lanes. You know, rushing past the quarterback obviously was an issue for us in the first half, and then you know, when he's got an escape hatch to do those things, and then he's directing the ball downfield and finding success that way, obviously his confidence level goes through the roof. And so, no, give him credit. I think he's a really good player. We knew we you know, from a skill standpoint, all of us talked on Monday about it in terms of the elite skill that Baylor has with a quarterback that can direct those things. So, you know, that some of that obviously was to be expected, and you know, it can't obviously look like you know, the scoreboard you know, did there in the second quarter, though. We got to find a way to it's one thing to make a play, then we got to make two of our own to negate that. And so, but no, a very good player, a very good offense, and a real good program.
The last.
No, I think you know these kids have been through a lot. I think maybe sometimes I discount what we took over. Maybe there's some ghosts in there that we got to make sure that have an understanding of as a defensive coaching staff that we're working through. I mean, it's been some highs, real highs in the past, and some real lows in the past, and so we inherit a group with, like I said, some scars, some ghosts maybe that I wasn't fully maybe appreciative of. I mean, so maybe I learned more in the last couple of weeks than even they learned. But I think as you go through it, the message was this: we got to be better as coaches. We got to put you in a better situation to be successful. We got to have a better week of practice. And so I think from a motivation standpoint, I think that did it take this to do that? No, I thought if you would have saw our week of practice, one of the best weeks of practice I've ever been a part of in my time as a coach, and it was. And it's coming off a game where you didn't play your best football. For the last couple of weeks, we have not played a high level of football. And then we're flying around in the indoor on Tuesday like you wouldn't believe. Now, that's got to – again, nobody cares what we did on Tuesday. I'm very, very – understanding of that, but what that speaks to, I guess, to your point, is that I think we have a group of guys believing in the things that we're preaching, we'll continue to get better results on Saturdays as we continue to work.
All right, thanks for joining us for the Sooner Sports Podcast. If you missed any of the highlights, there's no highlights on the end of this podcast, which we typically have, and here's why: because we have a pod that's out right now with the entire second half. So check it out right now. In the archive, Soonersports.com/podcast, the entire second half and the post game is there for you. Don't forget, coming up this afternoon at 1:15-ish, Toby Rowland and I will be live on the OU Athletics Twitter and Facebook pages and the OU Football Facebook page, looking back on the win that was for Oklahoma on Saturday. And we'll get you ready for a primetime game at the Palace between Oklahoma and TCU, and we'll preview where we think the Sooners jump to in the 14 playoff. Until then, have a great start to your week. Happy Monday, and Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.